Libertarian presidential candidate Michael Bagnarek. Michael, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the air. I appreciate it.
We appreciate having you. I want you to know we invited every presidential candidate to come on this year. So far, you're the only one to accept. I commend you for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. The Libertarian Party, I think, is a real source of curiosity for anybody who's politically minded. Of course, you know, a lot of people may not know as much about the party as they think they know. And the two things that I think always first come to mind when you mention libertarians to someone are taxes and drug legalization and their stance on either one of those. So I thought maybe first we could start with taxes, because that is obviously a central issue in this campaign, certainly between the Democratic and the Republican nominees. We saw just a few weeks ago the latest Congressional Budget Office numbers that indicated that the tax burden had gone up for the middle class. It had gone down for the wealthy. And in looking over the Libertarian platform, I was thinking maybe you could sort of clarify for us exactly what your position on taxes is and how it would be instituted in a Libertarian presidency.
Well, our position on taxes is directly related to government spending. And right now, government spends over $700 billion more than they budget. And what our position on taxes is to give everybody a tax break by eliminating the IRS completely. The Constitution was ratified in 1789, and the IRS didn't come into existence until 1913. So we had well over 100 years with no income tax, and the American government operated with a surplus. We had more money than we knew what to do with.
All right. And when you talk about eliminating income tax altogether, how would that be implemented? I mean, is there a plan for, if a Libertarian president were to actually get nominated, what the legislation would read like that would be introduced, or how would that work? Because obviously, if you're elected president as a Libertarian, you're not going to have a lot of Libertarians on either side of the aisle. So what would the implementation strategy be at that point?
Well, first of all, I reject that idea, because if I get elected as Libertarian president, it will be because the American people understand the Libertarian message, and they will vote for Libertarians at all levels of government. So the idea that I'll be a Libertarian president with no Libertarians in Congress is really a little bit far-fetched. However, what we want to do is to reduce the size of the government back to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. We, the people, created state governments to do most of the legislation in our states, and the states got together to make a federal government to do only those things that the states were incapable of doing, such as national defense, coining money and regulating the value thereof, operating the post office, and very little else. The purpose of the federal government is very limited. It should be very small. And when you make it dramatically smaller, it will be much easier to pay for.
This is Libertarian presidential candidate Michael Bagnarek joining us on the P1 Wild Ass Circus. You can find out more about him and the Libertarian Party at lp.org.
Yes, you say, cut back on all these services. But, I mean, people are so accustomed to it, and you say if you got elected that people, would have voted for you, and so all these other people are just going to fall in line. Well, we know that's not going to happen, so let's be realistic. Let's fantasize. Say you were elected. How in the world are you going to cut all these programs when, if you just even mention just a scale back of something, people go ballistic? How are you going to cut some of these welfare programs out?
Well, because, quite frankly, welfare is theft. If you in my house and take $100 out of my wallet for your health care, that's theft. If you have the government come into my house and take the $100 for you, that's government-sanctioned theft.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying, how are you going to stop it?
With that?
I agree, but I'm saying, how are you going to make people realize? I mean, people are not going to...
The implementation of it.
Right. There you go.
Because people only need these government handouts because the economy is so lousy. People just want to be able to live, and they want to be able to afford health care and education. anytime the government gets involved in something, it costs far more than it would normally, and it still doesn't work. Let's look at the Department of Education. In 1953, American students were number one in math and science. After 50 years of government control, we spend 10 times as much per student, and American students are coming out of school 29th in math and science.
Well, that's
so
because...
Even if the Department of Education were constitutional, we ought to eliminate it because it's not working.
Now, see, Michael, as an independent liberal as I may be, you've got me on some things, and then some things I'm drifting. And I guess what I'm wrestling with is whether or not we could really draw the absolute standard that I think the Libertarian Party draws on government involvement on some things. There was a quote off LP.org that really kind of grabbed me about cutting taxes, and it pointed out first and foremost that politicians spend millions of dollars to urge people not to smoke while spending millions to subsidize tobacco farmers. That part makes, I'm totally with you on that. But then in the very next line, it talks about cutting all federal funding for the arts, for example. I mean, is it literally a zero tolerance policy when it comes to federal funding?
What are you willing to accept theft for? Are there good reasons to steal people's money?
Well, I guess under your definition, I'm kind of thinking there might be. And I guess that's why I'm having a hard time drawing an absolute standard there.
Well, the Libertarian platform is based on private property. And John Adams, the second president, said that the moment the idea is admitted into society that the law of property is not as sacred as the law of God, and that there isn't a force of law and public justice to protect it, then tyranny and anarchy commence. So you cannot have private property and government-sanctioned welfare, because government welfare requires you to give up your property for someone else's benefit.
This is Michael Badnarik, the Libertarian presidential candidate in this year's election.
Michael, I have a question for you. I agree with you basically that taxes do need to go away. The concern I have, though, is like here in Dallas, we have a public hospital where people who do not have any funds go to hospital for emergency thing. The hospital is in debt by almost $1 billion. And the question is, with no taxes for support for that as it is, how is health care handled in that situation?
Well, first of all, let me state that Americans are the most generous culture on the face of the earth. And I point you to the $5 billion that Americans voluntarily contributed to New York City within a month of September 11th tragedy. We are never going to allow our elderly or our disadvantaged to starve to death. The problem is that health care, for example, is far too expensive. And it becomes far too expensive because the government is involved. The government has an Food and Drug Administration has a 10-year testing process for all medications. That process costs $1 billion. Who do you think gets to pay that $1 billion? The pharmaceutical companies? No, the customers. They pay those prices in higher pharmaceutical costs. The government gets involved in health insurance, deciding what treatments you can pay for, which ones you can't pay for, and basically, you know, making life and death decisions about your life. The doctors get involved because they feel that you're not going to pay for the medication or the treatment that the insurance companies do. So, personal example, my mother went to the hospital for a blood test. The insurance company paid $600 for a blood test that my mother could have gotten at the drugstore for $25. So, no, my mom didn't pay for the blood test directly, but you know that her insurance premiums are going to have to go up. So if we can get the government out of health care, get them to stop trying to make decisions about your life and your health, then the cost of health care will come down where everybody can afford it. In addition to that, when we eliminate the IRS and let you keep all the money that you make, you're going to have a lot more money to spend. And health care will be affordable for you, and Americans will never allow people to starve to death. We'll have enough money to pay for the relatively few people who cannot afford housing and health care.
Well, when people ask you how you're going to fund that, coming up next year, I want to get into one way that you say you can fund it. And Michael, this is the part where you've absolutely got me, which is ending the war on drugs. And I love the way you phrase it, drug re-legalization. Let's talk about that coming up next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus. More in a moment with Libertarian presidential nominee or candidate Michael Badnarik on the P1 Wild Ass Circus on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Football.